Good afternoon, honorable members. As you say, very far. You're very far from us. Can you come closer? we requested to start our meeting an hour before so that we can give our researchers time to present their analysis of the annual report of the department. Members will remember that this is the time where we're supposed to evaluate the department for the past financial year. I know that those who are new, they might not have seen the ATP of the department, but we have annual report, so we'll rely much more on officials to assist us in terms of whether the and the Auditor General's report has actually helped us including the planning and monitoring and evaluation report, has helped us to understand where the department has come from and where they are and what are their challenges. So in this meeting, we're now going to request our we'll start with the content advisor just to introduce his team and then get the analysis from the researchers. Members will then allow to ask questions and then at 2 o'clock we'll be receiving the department. And I'm going to request members that for us to be able to have more time in interrogating the report, I'm going to request the department to bear us of a vision and mission and legislative compliance, within them they've complied. If members agree, we must, we'll actually avoid those ones and go into the gist of the report. Agreed. So thank you very much. Can we then allow Nokzola, have you started? Okay.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon, members and colleagues. Yesterday I saturated there's some slides on the budgetary review and the recommendation report, which is one of the processes that this briefing on annual reports will be leading to. But in the interest of time, that is just the process. I wanted members to get an idea, because that's why we are, for example, we are rushing and we'll be working late. It's because of that the members can get all the briefing of the annual reports done before they can do or consider that budget report. So I won't be making that presentation now. So I think it's better that the researchers do the briefings on the actual analysis. But one of the things that I just wanted to highlight on the actual presentation by the, of the annual report, and also the same for the first quarter as well. And I think the researcher will also highlight that it's the format that the department has adopted now in presenting the results of the achievement of targets, while in the strike plan they have programs. I see now in detailing the achievements on the presentation, they have strategic goals and strategic objectives, but they do not indicate under which program this lies. So the way they are the targets are reported and linked up. And also some of the targets have really been fully achieved, but they count those as an achievement. So that's just some of the issues.
Good day, honorable members, colleagues. The analysis of the performance of the department in the 2014 financial year. Okay. I must apologize, I've got a bit of flu, but I'll speak up. Yes. The document is the one circulated to members that's dated 16 October and titled An Overview of the Annual Report of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. I think the key things, there's also a very good background, all the presentations and discussions that the committee have had on Tuesday, because it directly links to what we see in the annual report, and I think therefore members are quite well versed with the issues of the department. I mean, in some of the most important areas that the department should be delivering on, for instance, with regards to the performance information that comes through to the portfolio committee, but that has also been presented in the annual report. That level of inconsistency in terms of there's no way in which the AG has highlighted, it becomes quite difficult to adequately assess if what the department reports they have achieved has indeed been achieved. One last example that we have, and it's been the case even in the previous financial year, is the one that regards to targets that 160,000, 130,000 subsistence farmers should have been supported. And the department says they've met the target because they've supported 133 farmers. But to validate that information, that whether indeed these people were supported, that information is last day, and only 40,000 subsistence farmers could be validated in terms of the support that they've received. And I think it becomes an issue because if the budget has been spent on all the activities, but you can only account for less than 40% of the people that you assisted, then it becomes a problem. And if we also look, I've also highlighted that in the 2012-13 financial year, the department had not been able to report on this particular target. And yet now, when they come in the 13-14 annual report, they refer to the 12-13 achievements, which if you go back to the actual 12-13 annual report, those achievements were not there. So I think it's important for the committee to start to try and draw patterns in terms of how the department reports and how it performs and how it spends its budget, so that we not only look at one year to actually reflect on its performance, but to try to assist the department in areas where there's seemingly serious weaknesses. That's the one issue. And, I mean, over and above the actual performance itself, the department would also step in through the assistance that they've provided for these subsistence and small-scale farmers. They've assisted them to gain competitive leverage within the formal sector. And I think even being able to assess, evaluate, or even measure the impact thereof, that's also important, because we can have all these numbers, but over a period of time, I mean, it would be very useful for the portfolio committee possibly towards the end of the term, if we can have all these numbers of farmers who've been assisted, but we can also gauge assess the impact thereof that the support from the department has had on these farmers. And, I mean, it also goes on, even with some projects that the department would say they've concluded, for instance, they had infrastructure projects that haven't concluded. In as much as the conclusion of the construction project is an achievement, but then how functional are those projects, and who are the beneficiaries, what the numbers of the beneficiaries are, how functional are those projects, and how viable are they going into the future? That would also be quite important, so that we not only tick the boxes in terms of the numbers, but we can adequately assess the impact of the interventions of the department. In terms of the FESA Salab Food Production Initiative, the committee has dealt with this quite extensively, but it still remains unclear in terms of what the plan is, and how are we moving forward. And I think this becomes an issue because if you look at the 12-13 and trying to draw the trend, in 12-13 there was a program called the Zero Hunger Program. And the department has come before the portfolio committee and stated that, even in their reports, they stated that they could not adequately unpack what Zero Hunger should be about and what the program should be able to deliver. And here we see now we've moved into a Pesa Tlala, which is still around the same issue of food security, but to still adequately unpack what then happens and what are we implementing moving forward. So that also will be quite important. And there's other issues that affect the broader sector, and I think, you know, even on Tuesday, that issue also came up, how hostile the overall agricultural environment is. And so there has to be, in as much as we support new entrants and we have all the supporting programs, but how do we make sure that they are going to be able to compete and sustainable in the sector? That's also quite important. Even the whole issue of the job creation and how, you know, we've seen those evidence for that. That within the sector, we've seen more casual jobs being created, we've seen more seasonal jobs being created, so there's been an overall loss of permanent jobs, and how the sector then tends to, how the department tends to improve its support to new entrants that can in turn, you know, be a source of employment creation that becomes important. And still, those linkages are still not quite clear. So even if the department ticks certain boxes in terms of its performance. I mean, there's also the issue of, you know, within the broader sector, the issue of SMD and how we manage diseases and all of that. So the department highlights that in 2013-14, they've managed to reinstate South Africa's FMC free without vaccination status by the OIE. So in as much as we can commend that achievement to itself, but then how does that influence our plans and the investments that are already underway in terms of the OVI Institute or the vaccine production facility at DRC OVI? How do we then, you know, streamline all these issues and make sure that the investments made, you know, the economic return for that? Because if, I mean, the whole issue of the status has been reinstated is an achievement for farmers because they can now export their beef products. But at the same time, that also means we need to, ideally, we should be scaling down then in terms of the vaccination program that we would have rolled out all over the country. So are there any plans then that seek to ensure that the investments made in terms of this vaccine production facility, you know, will see its fruit? Unless the department is also anticipating that in the near future we might see again the whole issue come up and our reinstatement would be withdrawn, you know, there's those issues there. In terms of the financials of the department, there's one critical issue that reflects that there was 600 million rand that was unspent by provinces that was allocated under the conditional grant. That the department would record it as a saving, I guess, or as a what's the word that the department used? But it is a saving, essentially. But it's not a saving because provinces are failed to spend that money. It's now back in the coffers of the department and it has been returned to the National Revenue Fund. And, I mean, 600 million is quite significant, and if provinces were unable to spend that amount of money, how does the department then account for the failure to spend that money? Because all the conditional grants are allocated on the basis of workable business plans. So if those business plans at some point unworkable, then there needs to be, you know, proper monitoring. And the Portfolio Committee has interrogated that with the department to some extent, the whole issue of how they monitor and evaluate some of these conditional grants. So that's something that the committee might want to understand better from the department. In terms of the individual program, it's program 1 and 5 that have large unspent funds in the financial year. But in terms of program 1, the department accounts for that due to construction works, I think, that money is committed. But when you look at program 5, program 5 has consistently underperformed. And previously, and members would also refer to when we were processing the strategic plans and the budget in June, July, the department indicated that the program fails to perform because it is underfunded. But I did highlight that it is now being adequately funded, so we have to monitor whether there is any improvement. But we still see even now in 1340 that this program still fails to perform and it continues to unspend. So regardless of what happens to the allocation, I think there's a problem there. And then the department also tried to indicate what some of the issues are, and it seems that the department itself is struggling to manage and implement any realistic project within Program 5, which is forestry and natural resource management. And the department can indicate how the considerations or proposals on the table to consider to dispose of Category B and C plantations, which are state-owned plantations. And, I mean, that in itself, what the intentions of the department, it's one thing for the program to underperform, but to dispose of the assets, how will that benefit communities on the ground? So there has to be some, I think the real reason for the underperformance in that program needs to be addressed, and the disposal of the assets might not necessarily be the solution. It only shifts the problem to whoever else that they'll be disposing the assets to. The issue of the drafting of bills, before the committee is quite well aware of that. In the year under review, there was 24 pieces of legislation, and only one was brought to the portfolio committee in that financial year. And there's also the issue of, if you look at the financial, to link these two issues, in the financial, there were consultants who were paid, I think, the amount of about 7 million, I'm not quite sure now, I don't remember, but it's there in the brief. The consultants who were paid to undertake that exercise of reviewing all the legislations of the department. And it seems work has been done, consultants have been paid, but we do not know what the outcome of that whole exercise was. Because clearly the department has again failed to deliver in this regard. And, I mean, also even, you know, we would know with the whole Thai geographic environment, it does not make sense why the department would opt to utilize consultants for this particular exercise, because there is a public entity under the Justice Department, the South African Law Reform Commission, that at some point in 2011 had also undertaken a similar exercise to review all the legislations of the department. And even the outcome of that, the department has not been able to, you know, make available. And so that we make a proper assessment. Was there a need further from what the South African Law Reform Commission had undertaken to therefore appoint, you know, specialized consultants in that field? Or was it a matter of they thought there would be a different outcome from what consultants would produce as versus what the South African Law Reform Commission had produced? And the department, in as much as there's improvements and the consistency is getting slightly better, but I mean, if there are any programs that are discontinued or if there's any review of the strategic plans of the department, that should be, probably processed so that it reflects. It doesn't seem like the department is working outside of the approved strategic plan. And even when they have a chance to actually report any discontinued programs, the department simply says nothing has been discontinued. But we know, I mean, 12-13 we're looking at Zero Hunger, 13-14 we're looking at Fetratala, and they disregard that change. You know, they could have made a transition from the one program into the other and try to carry over some of the achievements achievements from the previous program to the new program, but that doesn't quite happen. We see that also in the livestock improvement or the animal improvement scheme, because the problem there, it's really how from year to year we're doing different schemes, and to realize real impact, it doesn't make sense to focus on poultry for 2 years, and then when poultry is no longer fashionable, I'm not quite sure why, then you drop that and you go into if you look at the bigger picture, I mean, the milk recording scheme that was discarded. And yes, dairy farmers are under a lot of strain, but it doesn't make sense for the department to say when there's a program that's struggling to achieve the said objectives, then to drop it. But I think it's also important to not tick the box or drop things that are not helping you to tick the box, but to step back and look, how do you address some of the macro issues that are actually suffocating farmers within a particular sector? I mean, it would have been a good exercise in this regard. We've also got a pig improvement scheme. And what do we say? It's important that we not only focus, and I think many of us are also quite aware, you know, there's good things happening with beans, with maize, but, I mean, we need to, you know, broaden that productive base and all these other sectors where we don't have the new entrants, existing farmers are all relatively struggling. So the department needs to take that step back and to see how that is addressed. And I'd like to believe that there is that motion moving forward, even if it's not for discussion for today with the APAP and all that. So I think that's an important step instead of the ticking the boxes in terms of performance. In terms of CADIP, the department has failed to implement that. And in the reporting end becomes inconsistent. You know, there's a lot of activities that have happened, which is a good thing. It's this movement. I think for a long time there was nothing happening in that regard. So consultations with provinces, it seems there are investment plans in place to try and implement CADIP. But I think the other important thing, if that is achieved, then you have to come back and say, what are the CADIP investment plans? What are South Africa's plans in terms for the sector, in terms of the NDP, the NGP, the IGDP, and the ADAP? So that we have this broader plan to grow and develop the sector in the 5, 10, 30-year projection. I think that would be quite important. And I mean, given the fact that to be able to source investment funds might be a bit difficult, but if all these plans are speaking to each other to some extent, they are aligned or they are rationalized in the same direction, I think that would be important. And I think it also becomes a lot more easier to get buy-in from private sector industry players and all of that, so we're all working towards a common goal. I think that would be important. So those developments really are quite positive. So I've spoken to the issue of the reporting and how it's improving, even though there's still issues, but I think it's improving. And Nokola has highlighted that issue. Because now the department, instead of, members, you would recall that from when you look at all the quarterly performance reports of the department, there will be issues that the department does not report on. There will be issues that the department report on, but obviously those issues are not achieved, and you'll see how they get carried over. I mean, even in terms of the momentum of performance of the department, you will see how in certain areas where the department has had a sluggish start, there was never really a point where in the second or third quarter or fourth quarter where they would pick up and be able to achieve all the targets therein. So there's that problem. But because now you come to the annual report and the reporting is aggregated or the reporting is consolidated, it seems it would look as if there's much achieved. But if you try to get into the individual activities that are supposed to lead to the achievement of the strategic objective, I think it would be quite difficult to get what has happened here. But if you look at the strategic objective, the department will say they've achieved. And what they state in the report, given they've achieved it, but it's still difficult to see how do you achieve the greater goal if you've not managed to achieve the quarterly smaller target. So I think that's a bit of an issue there, and possibly the portfolio committee is not empowered to engage the department in this regard, because during the quarterly report, the department would not state any of these things. They'd be silent on them. So now come annual report time, if they say they've achieved them, we actually have no way of gauging, have they really achieved it? They would be silent on it quarter one to quarter four. In the annual report, it's there, it's been done. And so in terms of the budget expenditure of the department, they've managed to spend 6.1 billion out of the 6.18, which is 98%. So members are quite familiar with that. It's been discussed on Tuesday. And how much of that? It's about 40% of the total appropriation that was transferred to provinces for conditional grants and the public entities. But this would also remind members of that 313 million that provinces have not been able to spend in the year under review, so that becomes an issue. So I think the unspent amounts under Program 5, particularly on goods and services, and that also links to the underperformance of that program, becomes important. And on the issue of the unspent conditional grants, I'd like to just highlight members that in the previous year, the amount that's spent by provinces was only 17 million. And then we come, so that would be in the year 2012-13, that was 17 million. And we come to 1914, that has shot up to 600 million. So even the reasoning behind that, or the reasons that have led to that kind of development, should be provided by the department. In terms of the programs, program one, they've achieved some of the targets that seems to be important, particularly in terms of reducing the vacant rate. And possibly this could be some typing error, but the department is also not consistent on what the actual vacancy rate is at the moment. In other parts of the report, it's 9.5, in other parts of the report, it's 9.8. It seems negligible, but members must also note that a large proportion of the vacancies are still within more critical posts that that could assist the department in moving forward, I believe. And there's also the issue of duplication in quite a number of areas. Under program one, for instance, the department plans to develop, design a program project decision support management system. And as far as we understand, this should be an electronic platform that all the officials of the department have access to, and one can say you want to implement a project of this magnitude in this type of, in this district, to benefit so many numbers of people, and so that tool would assist you to be able to say, this is how your planning should be done, this is how your initiation of that project should be done, implementation up until you finish off with the project. But that has not been done. So it becomes a problem. Already, that's a tool that could even assist people make these decisions at provinces in terms of some of these some of the conditional grant-funded projects, but that hasn't happened. At the same time, we still have an entity of the department that has developed such a tool. It's incomplete, yes, but that money has been spent to develop a tool under the ARC. I can't remember now what it stands for. But it's also an electronic platform which gives you all the data for per district and what you can grow, what you can't grow. So instead of being able to take a step back, we were ticking boxes again, instead of being able to take a step back and say, what do we have? What resources are there? And how do we make sure that all these things are actually working towards one common goal? There was another effort to develop something new altogether. You're reinventing the wheel, and in fact, partially that has been done under the ARC.
Sorry. Can members take something to eat as we sit? Because when the department comes, we might not have time to eat. Okay.
So that was program one. The issue of the monitoring and evaluation, the committee has emphasized that several times with the department. And the issue to highlight there is there's a sub-program on policy planning, monitoring and evaluation. Now, what the important issue there is, when you look on table 3 on page 7, if you compare the allocations from 2011-12, 2012-13, and 2013-14, those allocations have been consistently decreasing. Reasonably so, because the sub-program would fail to spend its allocated budget. But at the same time, the Portfolio Committee would emphasize to the department how the exercise of being able to monitor and evaluate all these interventions was quite important. But clearly, it consistently fails to spend its allocated budget. But I mean, if you also link this to one of the findings of the AG, how projects implemented under CAST, the department should, in fact, that's how it's governed. In fact, the department should have been in a position to visit these projects and, you know, assess and evaluate for themselves whether or not the business plan has been followed as had been planned. So you see that a program is failing to spend its budget, it's failing to perform its function, and those issues there must be addressed. In terms of program two, there's good achievement there, but the only issue that the department has failed to address adequately is, again, its planning. So the issue of the target of being able to conserve 2 indigenous animal species. So it's not really the target itself that's the problem, but it's what it's telling of the department and how it implements its programs. the department has failed to implement because they state that due to the nature of the project, you must first select the animal that you want to conserve, then you must synchronize the animals, like you inject hormones into the animals and all that, collect semen. It's a lengthy process. But the official who implements this project already know that it is a lengthy process. And, I mean, it's a biological process. You're not necessarily in control of the bulk of it. So if you're planning for something that's under the control of nature, to some extent under the control of nature, you should be able to do your planning in such a way that you start with your implementation prior to the actual time when you should be able to deliver. Come the time to deliver the project, all your things are in place, you know, it's like a knock-on effect, that type of thing. So I think that's important for the department to, I mean, it's given that a lot of things, whether it's rain, whether there's all these natural factors that could be at play. But let's plan, let's have insight into our planning. Let's plan in a manner that is informed, and we try to control as much as possible as the risks that we might be facing. In terms of Program 3, I've already highlighted the issue of the subsistence and the small-scale farmers. And I think that we can't really get away from this. I mean, it's part of the broad plan for South Africa, so we have to get that issue right. In terms of Program 4, trade and marketing, the important issue there, besides credit, particularly in securing export markets, it's important that the government not only focuses on the trade, the international relations aspect, because we see members, I want to bring the CDS example into play here. The issue here is that you have increasingly the use of non-tariff measures to actually block South African exports from entering certain protected markets. But it's not enough for us to say it's the European Union that's not paying fair, and therefore we can't export our oranges into the European Union. It's also upon the department to actually facilitate, being able to develop information systems that allow us to be able to make the right decision at the most critical time. It is not sensible for the department to say, if the one country not paying fair, and therefore we don't know where to take our produce, and that produce comes back to us only to flag the markets, and it's a loss for everyone. I mean, yes, we will have slightly cheaper oranges, but it really is a loss, not only to the farmers, but to the entire value chain that's involved in that. And, I mean, even in terms of the other important issue, in terms of foreign earnings, which is important for the overall economy of the country, if we can't export, then you can't earn foreign exchange, and that's a problem. So how we manage some of these more sophisticated issues is important. It can't be ignored. It's one thing to travel to countries and engage with them and have MOUs in place, but there will always be some or other way to make life difficult for South African producers to enter those markets. I mean, everyone tries to protect their own farmers, so I think that issue is also quite important. If we're going to introduce all these new entrants into the sector, there has to be a market. Yes, there's a domestic market. Yes, there's a regional market. But we need to be constantly growing those markets. It's just not enough to say we'll look for alternative markets. Even in the instance, even if we have looked for alternative markets, still there were approaches that had to flood the domestic market, if you have to say that. And Program 5, I mentioned the issues there, the consistent unemployment, and what the department is planning, proposing to do, dispose of those assets. And I think it's also quite important to get the actual plan and how it's going to unfold, if indeed they do dispose of those assets. And then in terms of the financial reports and risk management, I think members are quite familiar. The AG has touched on these issues quite well. But I also want to draw the attention of members to what the department reports in terms of the internal audit function and what AG has reported. The department says in one of the pages that they think they have adequate internal control, which I don't necessarily think it is true, which is a finding of the AG. So some of these things, if we move into a space that says that they, They should be there, and they should be results that show that the internal controls are there. But if they are not there, then let's work on getting those there. I think it's important. So the issues on predetermined objectives, the committee has been consistently engaging the department on this throughout the quarters, and it's come again, and it is, as the committee knows it, that the information is either not there, or it's not, the targets are not met, or those issues. And in terms of some of the findings of the AG, I think members must also be aware that this is on page 14 of the document, but quite several of them, in fact, are repeat findings. So, and I know, and I could be speaking under correction, but AG makes available to the department a management report which has all the weaknesses that have been identified. If the department does have such a report and they know where the areas are of weaknesses, and we continue to see repeat findings, so maybe we should get an understanding of how far do they go in terms of implementing, you know, correcting the findings. So I think that would really affect the department in moving forward, because we see a lot of these things are repeat findings, are issues that the portfolio committee continues to raise with the department. Then in terms of the irregular and fruitless wasteful expenses, one issue from 2010-11 that amounts to 13 million rand, but there were forensic, the whole case were under forensic investigation, and I don't believe the portfolio committee has ever been briefed in terms of what exactly transpired in that whole issue. But come in the year under review, those amounts were then condoned based on the findings of the forensic investigation. And then human resource, the department committee is well aware of the issues therein. In terms of the equity target for people with disabilities, the department has not met that, remained constant, and I think it's something to pursue with the department. And the utilization of consultants, we've already spoken to it. I think that's just about those issues.
Okay. Your friend's time, I don't know where you're going to get time to. 8 minutes to two, the department is coming in at total. So can you quickly summarize your analysis?
Good afternoon, members. They've already covered quite a number of issues, more especially on the format and the quality of the report, the inconsistencies, which has become more of the regular occurrence. And somehow it impacts on how goals or the targets are assessed. For example, if they start the year with 8 targets and end the year with 8 different targets, it then may complicate assessment, more especially when they start merging some of the ones and introducing others that they spoke about in passing on the strategic plan. So that being said, it becomes a little bit tricky to fairly assess what they have achieved and what they have not achieved. But I think I'll just focus on what the committee may need to take up with the department. On, for example, on the issue of the law enforcement, there was this inspection at airports and also borders that did not seem to be taken seriously because it was not incorporated in there. That was in previous financial year. And some of these things, they have been happening regularly, but they are not reporting on them, whether there's anything happening there. And also, the other thing is, they speak of success of implementing the of rebuilding the collapsed fish stocks. So I think on that one, the committee may need to be informed whether are the stocks recovering enough to accommodate the small scale fishers, or how are the stocks performing, so that it becomes, when they say they are implementing the small-scale fishery policy, it will be somehow balanced with either what the department is saying through their scientists or what the fishers are saying. And then the other issue, it will be relating to the fisheries allocation process. The department reports that it was successfully concluded which could be a little bit questionable, because successful conclusion of that, it means the review process is completed, and if there are people who have appeals, that will be wrapped up. So once that has been done, then it could be considered to be concluded. But most of the decisions were still taken even to this financial year, and as we speak, there are some people who are on interim relief, which is not the same as a long-term right. And it cannot be a successfully achieved target if these people who are on interim relief. So the department may need to explain that so that we could all understand it in the same way. Then there are some of the targets where they report, if you read the departmental report and the MLRF, there are some of the over-achievements, and when you read the other one, they did not achieve the goal. For example, on sea-based inspection, on the department report, the target was 600, for example. On the department report, they did 679, which is over-achievement. And when you read the MLRF, it's 497, the same thing. So they need to explain such things, whether, because it might also be a reflection whether the report is written by the same people or not. Because I assume if it was written by the same people, they would have somehow picked that there's some inconsistencies there. And then the other thing is, excuse me, the issue of confiscations of illegal harvested fisheries products. During the previous financial year, the department celebrates that it has confiscated more of these illegally harvested fisheries resources, which could be an achievement, but actually it's a reflection that the law enforcement at sea is not working, because the ultimate goal should be to stop people from fishing illegally instead of arresting them. Because if you increase the arrest, does not necessarily mean that you're assisting in stopping poaching. Like what they are doing is one part. It's supposed to be two part things. You stop people from fishing illegally, and then you stop the distribution or the move of the illegally fished resources. But what they've been doing really well in confiscation of the already harvested resources, which on its own cannot be used as a measure, because we don't know how much was harvested illegally. We just know how much was confiscated. And there's no clear indication if the government managed to auction all the resources, but I think that could be raised by the committee as to how does this affect their operations and their planning. Because I think at some point the committee may need to sit down with the department so that they can brief the committee on the implementation of the integrated fisheries security strategy, which encompasses the whole security from harvesting illegally to illegal distribution. I think that the department could maybe at some point brief the committee on that. And there is a unit within the department that is doing exceptionally well, the aquaculture group, although there are some subdivisions. They seem to be on top of their game and realistic in planning and also achieving their goals at the end of the year. Although it's a slow process developing aquaculture, but they seem to have a clear head on what they want, and they are achieving that. And then the department may need to inform the committee on the in response to the regional development plan that the fisheries need to be expanded. That is, research into new fisheries may need to be considered. The department has been doing that, but it's not clear what are findings, because some of the things that could be a measure, whether it's possible to expand the fisheries into new fisheries or not. So that will have to be raised by the department, because it used to be in the previous prep plans, but they opted to remove it, even though the project was funded. So that could be taken up with the department. And then there's another part which the department did not respond or report on. They planned to develop an inland fisheries policy. It's not nowhere on the document where they are reporting on any steps taken to address that. And the issues members, I will just leave out and just rush to the finances because when we briefed, there are some of the figures that were incorrect, not especially about the financial expenditure from the department, particularly from the MLRF. It's a little bit complicated because there are two grants. One is for the working for fisheries, the other one is for vessel operations. And on the vessel operations, the department has been struggling to adequately use the monies that were allocated. And since 2011, there's been leftovers that get deferred to the following year, which makes the allocation for the following year to be slightly higher. And when they fail to use a certain portion, then the deferment keeps on increasing. That's why I think they understood it as an expenditure. While when you look at the branch itself, not the entity, the branch uses 100% of its allocation. But when you look at entity, then that's where you find under expenditure. But that is generally done with treasury because it allows them to be reallocated to the monies that were not spent in the previous year. But it's not a good reflection because on the working official is supposed to be creating jobs, improving skills and all that. So if there is lots of money that gets unused, it's also a reflection that there are fewer jobs that are created. So the department may need to be ask whether is it possible to increase the targets of the job that will be created under the working for fisheries so that it can deal away with this deferment and under usage of the money. And then, yeah, then there's some other issues members which relate to the day-to-day admin staff of the department, like the ruthless and wasteful expenditure which seem to be uncontrolled due to the way some of the regulations, especially regulations like the procurement rules that are not considered or that are not followed, that results in this increased wasteful, fruitless and irregular expenditure. But some of the things have been carrying on for some years. For example, on the operation of the vessels, because some of the measures, they are immediate, and while others, things that can be avoided through proper planning. So on that one, I think the committee needs to inquire from the department on how better to improve on this regard. Yes. Then the other stuff can be picked from the brief. Yes.
And indeed, you've managed to summarize. I didn't think you would manage, but thank you very much. Members, can you raise question quickly for clarity? This is the analysis to empower you to be able to engage with the department, but where you don't understand, you are allowed to, can you get them to to clarify certain issues that they raise. Honorable Judas.
Jefferson. There was two pertaining to the targets. Pertaining to the targets that were set out in either the strategic plan or the annual performance plan. And at the end of the term, they have reached the targets, but it seems there's a difference in terms of what was the actual targets or goal. Now, in terms of that, isn't there, in terms of the evidence that needs to be provided, at the start of the process, a clear understanding what is the type of evidence that needs to be produced for the department to enable them to report correctly on the issues as agreed? That's my clarity.
To talk about that again, Treasury annually looks at the framework and sends to the department, including the report format. And in some instances, you find department when they process, when they migrate into particular form, they left Parliament outside. they don't actually inform parents. And that's why you'd have this miscommunication. I know that when the monitoring, the planning and monitoring came into in 2009, they started to focus, they call it the outcome base, and which actually, I'm not sure if that did say for the for government to monitor the progress, but the department will only mention what they are going to achieve in their plans, but the how part is left as an, what you call it, internal systems that they use in the department. But and it's becoming difficult, that's my observation of course, it's becoming difficult for the interaction between Parliament and the department in terms of monitoring the actual performance on a quarterly basis, because as you are not, you just get it by the end of the financial year that they did not perform, but you were unable to detect that process because you are looking at the outcome, which does not even reflect how they are going to reach that outcome. So I'm saying maybe you as you speak, you can even talk about that. And how should we make the department to understand that for us to be able to assist them and to play oversight, information is very critical, and reliable information, if there are changes of format, which is a creative innovation of government, is fine. But they have a responsibility to brief Parliament, particularly the portfolio committee that they are working on. Do you want to?
As far as I understand, the targets as set out in the APP of the department, for each target then there's like an expanded definition, if I may call it that, that will say this is the target, this is what we mean we're going to do under this target, this is how we're going to measure performance in this target, and this is the kind of evidence that must be submitted to corroborate that, in fact, these things have been done or have been achieved. And I know even last time the DG referred to Annexure E, which should go with strategic plans and somewhere at the back, where it gives you all these definitions. And even developing that Annexure E, how the targets are set out there and all the evidence that's required, those things should make it easy for the department to say, if we're going to plant 5 hectares of maize. That indicator would be saying that, and particularly at a more operator level, that indicator should be saying we're going to plant 5 hectares of maize, and how are you going to measure the 5 hectares? I mean, and there's no way we can disagree how you're going to measure 5 hectares. It should be something that's obvious to the department, to the extension officer, to AG, to all of us. It should be a measure that, you know, it's undisputable how you're going to measure that. Which makes it easier at the end of the day to say whether or not 5 hectares of maize have been planted. And I think it's difficult for us to... It makes it easy, not difficult. It makes it easy for all parties, or all the committee, all oversight parties, even within the department themselves, to monitor performance of the department. I think that's quite important. And it's quite true how, but as far as I understand, the department, if there are any changes to the strategic plan, and any review of the strategic plan, that should be in the same way that the strategic plan was tabled. So there should be a review strategic plan that's tabled just to inform the portfolio committee that there's changes in 1, 2, or 3 areas because they were necessitated because of change of government policy or whatever that necessitated that change. So that's also possible. But I think on the quarterly targets, it's quite difficult to see how you're changing from quarter to quarter. And if that's coupled to expenditure, those funds have been allocated for a particular purpose. So now the constant changes that you continue to have, it also becomes quite difficult how from an administrative perspective, how efficient, you know, is administration in that regard. That becomes an issue.
In terms of the last speaker, Department of Cybersecurity, I think somewhere in the document you have referred to in the first quarter, a certain percentage of targets were reached for the first quarter. That was way below the, but then you also indicated that around 33 or 30 odd percent were, they have worked through it, and you can regard it as part of the delivery of the first quarter. I don't know that I understand you correctly. Now my question, in terms of the APP process, is that if you have reached your targets of the first quarter and you didn't deliver the whole 33%, look, we are already close to at the start of the third quarter. So how can we regard them that as part of the first quarter delivery? That's just for clarity.
So we just look at the information reported by the department. And obviously, if I mean, you know, it's like, I think, you know, 30 days after the quarter has been concluded, the department could make available that report of what they've achieved. But because, I think, with this year and how the, you know, the program of Parliament is, we are that late. But also the department can, with the portfolio committee how far they are as of the third, fourth quarter. Because I think the main issue, and I think I've tried to address this issue, it's difficult for the department, once it lags behind, it can become difficult to pick up the momentum to actually work towards the annual, to reach the annual target. So I think that's also quite important. If you're starting at 30% to get, and now third, fourth quarter, you should have made up all those targets that you have not met in the previous quarter. And sometimes you would get that. They would say, they haven't done this, but it will be done in the second quarter, it will be done in the third quarter, which is fine. But as long as, you know, there is that catch-up or that pick-up of momentum in terms of performance, it's important. But you never really pick that up as a department report on a quarterly basis. And, yeah.
Thank you very much, members. We can... what the department is doing, get some tea, coffee, call them. Digital.